All right, please open your Bibles to the book of Second Corinthians, and we will continue with lesson number 8 of this study. Hope you're enjoying it. I know I am. And tonight will be what we're doing. We're looking at a suffering church. We're looking at a suffering people and the hope that God holds out to them that is greater than all of their suffering and all of their trouble. And we've made our way to the fifth chapter of this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we wrapped up a section that ran from chapter 4, verse 16, down through chapter 5, verse number 8, wherein we were told that our outer man, our physical body, was wearing out, is wearing out, and there's nothing we can do about that, but that we are to hope in and rejoice in the sure and certain fact that, number one, when we are absent from this body, we will be present with the Lord. And that, number two, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so one day there will be a resurrection of our mortal body, and it will be changed into a body like unto his glorious body. And we will live in that body forever. And the comparison in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that our body that we're in right now, it's said to be a tabernacle, a temporal dwelling place, and the body that we will receive in that resurrection day will be like unto a temple, that permanent dwelling place. All right, so having established, have that having been established, we come now to a section that has to do with judgment. Okay, judgment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And what is the judgment for the believer? Okay, what is the nature of that judgment? What is the purpose of that judgment? And what will be the outcome of that judgment? So let's read this here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse number 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. All right, so now the purpose of this judgment cannot be to determine whether or not I am going to heaven when I die, because I've already said, we've already seen in chapter 4, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, that as soon as I die, I go to heaven. Okay, now the rich man in Luke chapter 6, when he died, he lift up his eyes being in hell. Okay, he didn't go to a judgment and then to hell. He went straight to hell. I don't go to a judgment and then to heaven. I go straight to heaven. Secondly, this judgment cannot be to determine whether or not my sins have been paid for, because my sins were paid for at the cross of Calvary. I am not going to this judgment to determine what, or to determine what, if any, sins of mine need to be paid for, and what the extent or nature of that payment is going to be. My sins were fully paid for on the cross at Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. I am pardoned. I'm cleansed. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I have eternal life because Jesus paid it all. So there is nothing at this judgment that has to do with the attainment or the loss of salvation. There's nothing about this judgment that has to do with whether or not I'm going to heaven. And there's nothing about this judgment that has to do with whether or not I'm going to be punished for something that I've done or something I haven't done, because Jesus took my punishment in his body on the cross. So let's look very, very carefully at what these verses actually say, and we will use the corresponding passages in Romans and 1 Corinthians to help us. Verse number 9 says, "Wherefore we labor." Now let me ask you something. Is salvation by works or by grace? Come on. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast." So the issue at hand is my labor. Okay? My labor cannot result in salvation, and my lack of labor cannot result in a loss of salvation or a failure to obtain salvation, because salvation is not based upon labor. So the issue here is our labor. It says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent." Come on, get the context. Look at verse number 8. Verse 8 said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So in the following verse, we would read, "Whether present with the Lord or absent from the Lord." Okay, that is, whether I am in my physical body on this earth or whether I have left my physical body and I'm in heaven. My desire, my heart's desire, my motivation, my purpose in life is that my labor might be acceptable to God. Okay, now that's the statement, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I want to please God with my actions. That would not earn me a place in heaven. That would not make me deserving of salvation, but it would certainly manifest, it would show to the Lord that I was thankful for and appreciative of the salvation that he gave me, the life that he's given me, the blessings that he's given me. See, I'm not laboring to be saved. I'm laboring because I am saved. I'm not laboring so that God will owe me eternal life. I'm laboring because he has given me eternal life. I want my life to be acceptable to God and pleasing to God. All right, so let's go on. Verse 10 says, "For we, not lost people, not the whole world, we must." And so who's he writing to? Chapter 1, verse 1, the church, all the saints. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Okay, so think with me. It's not God the Father sitting on the judgment seat. It is Christ who is sitting on the judgment seat. And he is called my advocate in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. Look at that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says there, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Right? So think about this. My defense attorney is the one who is going to sit on the judgment seat before which I'm going to stand. So I'm going to stand to be judged by my advocate, not my adversary, not the one who is of a contrary opinion, not the one who is opposed to me, not even one who is indifferent to me. No, I'm going to stand before a judgment seat, and the judge on that seat is the one who ever liveth to make intercession for me. The one on that seat is my Redeemer. The one on that seat is my great high priest. The one on that seat is my beloved. The one on that seat is the one who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who's sitting on the judgment seat. And I'm going to stand before that one to be judged. Right now, I hope you're listening. There cannot possibly be a negative outcome to that judgment. It's absolutely impossible that the one who has kept my soul, interceded on my behalf, maintained my cause before the Father, refuted the accuser of the brethren on my behalf, it is impossible that there could be a negative outcome to the judgment when the judge is my Savior, my advocate, the one who pleads my cause. Can't happen, won't happen. So what's the purpose of the judgment? Take a look. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I'm not receiving life or death. I'm not receiving punishment or reward. Not in this passage. Now, stay with me. Here's what's happening. The first thing that's going to happen, God the Son is going to give me what I did in my body, in my mortal life on earth. He's going to give me that. Okay, let's get some backup here. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Having been given the works that I have done. Take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about what I do in my body in this life. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, okay, that's good. Silver, that's good. Precious stones, that's good. Wood, hay, stubble, probably not good. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Right? You see that? That is the Lord handing to me in the judgment what I did in my body, in my lifetime. My works shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. Okay, now watch. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, okay, look carefully, every man's work. Okay, the passage did not say the fire shall try every man. I am not on trial. You will not be on trial. The judgment seat of Christ is not the trial of the saved individual. No, it's the trial of the saved individual's works. It's two entirely different matters. Give you an example. I have a son. When he was in school, he had to take exams. If he passed the exam, wonderful. If he didn't pass the exam, not so good. But he was not on trial to determine whether or not he got to keep being my son. That was not the issue. He was not on trial. His work was on trial. All right, so I'm a child of God. I'm God's child eternally. I have been given everlasting life. I am not going to be judged. Jesus Christ was judged in my place. My works are going on trial. Okay, do you see the phrase? The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So you're handed your works. Those works are then passed through some sort of fire. And I've told you before, all judgments involve fire. Your work is passed through some sort of fire. And look what happens. Verse 14. Bible says, if any man's work abide, it doesn't say if the man abides, it says if his work abides. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Okay? He's not going to receive salvation. He's got salvation. He is going to receive a reward that is added in addition to his salvation, which he did not earn. He didn't earn salvation. And in addition to eternal life, which he did not earn. This is an earned reward for good works. Okay, now watch carefully. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. It doesn't say he shall be lost. It says he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. But, okay, now look, it couldn't be any clearer. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, now let's get this. And I hate to sound like I'm talking down to you. I hope you're not taking it that way. But I can't believe how little understanding people have of these things. And I can't believe how badly these matters have been twisted by false teachers trying to pressure people into doing things for God that they don't want to do, to try to motivate them through fear. So listen, all my sins are paid for on the cross. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, he gave me everlasting life. And that's what I have. I have everlasting life. That is life that lasts forever. He gave me eternal life. You know what that means? It means eternal. That's what it means. That's what I have. I have eternal, everlasting life by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, I want to live a life that is acceptable to my Savior. And he is going to take me to heaven when I die. Having gone to heaven, I'm going to stand before my Savior. He is going to give me my works. Those works are going to pass through a fiery trial of judgment. And every work that I have done that is a good work will be rewarded. And every work that I did that was not a good work is going to be consumed by that fire. It shall be destroyed. I will be saved. I will lose reward, but there will be no further mention made of those bad works. They're going to be gone. They're burned up. They're done. Now, there's some weird things that have happened as men become desperate to get carnal, disinterested church members, you know, people who just take up space in the church, trying to get them to do something. There's doctrines out there like, if you don't do enough good works, you will lose your salvation. That's not even an issue. That's not a, even something to worry about, not a possibility. They say, if you don't do enough good works, you're going to get beaten with a rod, or you'll get a whip at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no mention of punishment in this whole passage, none whatsoever. Some have gone so far as to say that you'll have to burn in some sort of a Protestant purgatory during the millennium. But then eventually you'll get to get out and you'll enjoy everlasting life after your Savior has burned you for a while. Isn't that nonsense? Now, what was the result of the judgment for those whose works were bad? Were they burned? Were they beaten? No. Were they punished? No. What happened? They suffered loss of potential reward. You say, well, why weren't they harmed? Because Jesus was harmed in their place on the cross. You say, why weren't they punished? Because Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Thanks be to God. My Savior paid it all. You say, well, then what's the point? Well, come on. What's the point? You say, well, I'm just glad to be saved. I don't care if I get a reward or not. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. That's just your justification for not living for your Savior or not wanting to live for your Savior. All right, so hear me. Right now, some of you are working and you're making money, but you're not making enough money. But you've got a little bit of retirement, they call it. I'm going to tell you something. For example, if you're an American and you retire at 65 and you live to be 85, that's 20 years somebody's going to pay you for work that you're no longer doing. But they're going to continue to pay you as a reward for work that you've already done. And that's pretty good. And I guarantee you that those vacation trips and that time with the grandkids and those days out on the lake fishing, whatever it is you're going to do, you will consider that to be a marvelous compensation for the work that you did in the past. I never talked to anybody that said, you know, this retirement, I tell you, I wish I had to get up every morning. I wish I had to go to work. I hate having to travel around and visit my grandkids. Sure do hate being able to sleep as long as I want to in the morning. Never heard anybody say that. I never heard anybody say, I should have just been a bum so I wouldn't have any retirement money. Never heard that one. And you know something? Let's say you got saved at the age of 10 and you lived to be 90. And so for 80 years, you labored for the Lord Jesus. What is that? What is that compared to the millions and zillions and trillions and billions of years that you are going to enjoy the reward for that service long, long after you have ceased to do any kind of service? Come on. You just got to think about these things. I'm not working just to get a reward, but hey, if God holds out in the Bible an offer of reward and tells us to labor so that we can earn it and live so we can attain it, okay, it's got to be worth having. You can't say it doesn't matter. It must matter, or else the Lord wouldn't hold it out to us. It must matter, or the Lord wouldn't offer it as part of the hope of our future. All right, look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And starting at verse number 7, Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So I'm not worried about a day when I might not belong to the Lord. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So you see that? It is an accounting. It is an adding up. It's a measuring. It's a giving out, but it is not to determine who is saved and who's not. What does the Romans passage say? It says, don't get all wrapped up in what the other guy is doing or not doing. That is his judgment. What are you doing? What are you not doing? I should be asking myself, what am I doing? What am I not doing? People say, well, there's a bunch of people in our church. They're not doing anything. That's not your problem. Well, all these Christians, you know, they say they love God, but I sure don't see it. That's not your problem. Well, I knew a deacon one time. That's not your problem. Yeah, I used to go to church, but this preacher down there, you know, that's not your problem. You are not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for what I have done. You're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and suffer loss for something someone else did or didn't do. It's your judgment. It's your reward. It's your accounting. What are you doing for Jesus? Come on. What are you doing for Jesus today? Today, what have you done for him? Yesterday, what did you do for him? How about the past week? Did you know that tomorrow you could leave this world? You could. Now, I don't wish it on you, but you could. Tomorrow, your service time could end. Your last opportunity to witness. Your last opportunity to pray, your last opportunity to minister grace, your last opportunity to be a help and a blessing, your last opportunity to encourage. It could be over in 24 hours. And there you are standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And there won't be one question about how beautiful the landscaping around your house was. Not one question about how grand your wardrobe was. Not one question about where you went out to eat. Not one question about your hairstyle or the size of your house or the car that you drove or your bowling average. Not one question about whether or not your team won the ball game. The Lord is going to hand you your works. Would you say right now that the life you're living is acceptable? Not to me, not to you, but to Jesus Christ when you stand before him. Will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will he say that you have maximized your potential? You have done what you could do with the abilities and with the opportunities that he gave you. That's all that's going to matter. Nothing else will matter at that judgment. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have held out this hope to us, the fact that Not only do we already have salvation, which you paid for on the cross at Calvary, thank you, Lord, but that you hold out this opportunity to earn rewards at that judgment seat of Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll help us not to waste this life that you've given us, but you'll make us want to be found acceptable to you, and to do something that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.